So, and so then our redemption is through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so the grace of God is displayed, and how he is able to forgive us of our sins is because he has sent one to atone for our sins, to cover them up, and to bear them away, never to be remembered against us in the Lord. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and truth, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. And so we said all of this originates within him. It's not a matter of looking down through time and seeing what we would do, and then acting upon that. So it's not a matter of waiting for us to perform some merit, do something that would be acceptable to him, but rather that all originated in him to start with. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So Christ is a great central figure as he hung between heaven and earth about 2,000 years ago on the cross. Before that time, everything pointed towards that. And since that time, everything pointed back to that. And from that time, well, then the waters flow out to behind the sea and the former sea, what Scripture speaks of. And so Christ, all things together in him. And he is the heir of all things. And if we're here, then we're joint heirs with him. This inheritance he speaks of down here. In whom also we have obtained that inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so this inheritance that we have, this is an inheritance here, the inheritance of the saints in life here in time. The church is an inheritance. The apostle refers to the saints churches of the saints in one place. He doesn't say to the saints in the church, but to the churches of the saints. The church is made up of saints, those that are sanctified, chosen, and called, and set apart by God, who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel dispensation. You have heard talking about the visible local church now. They are congregations made up of people who have heard the gospel, the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And when you have heard that, you believe that, and it was sealed to you by the Holy Spirit. But then these people, the people at Ephesus, so in the book of Acts, there was 12 people there in Ephesus, and when Paul went through there, they had heard the baptism of John only. And he laid hands on them to constitute a little church. Ephesus was a great city. And it was there that the great temple of Diane, the goddess Diane, was there. There was a trade union, a silversmith said that got terribly upset at preaching Paul and tried to stone him to death because they made little goddesses, gods and goddesses of Diane. And they were, they sold the people. And so that upset them when Paul began to preach about another god that was greater than the goddess Diane. And so that this was a great city there, there lots of people there, but there was just a little group of believers there at that time. How many there was eventually, I don't know what the scripture says, but compared to the city in a whole, there was just a small group of people. And he was one of them, and he said that referred to the church, to the churches of the saints here in the different cities that he went to. And so these people were sanctified by God the Father and set apart and called, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, Jesus says. And this church then is like a temple, but it's made up of living stones. The goddess of Diane's temple was over there, but this temple is a temple whose building and maker is God. It's not a temple not made with hands. And the tabernacle was a type of it, and the temple of Solomon built was a type of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his body, was the temple of God. And when he went back to heaven, then he said, ye are the temple of God. And so Christ is in the church, just as he was in the tabernacle, dwelling in the midst of the church. He was in the temple, dwelling in the midst of Israel, in the midst of his people. And now he's in the church, dwelling in the midst of his people. And so tabernacle or this church that God is building, this building, that he, this is an inheritance that we have inherited now, and we are referred to as the saints in life, as though that's being brought to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And after these verses that we read, he goes on and prays that that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might have the knowledge and the wisdom about God and about Christ. And that was his prayer that the church, those separated from the rest of the Ephesians there, that they might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might prosper in those things pertaining unto God and his Son, and this is a great salvation that he has brought out for us. And so the church then is a temple that which is the temple of the living God. And in that temple is deposited of the truth. It is the ground of the pillar and the ground of the truth, the pillar of supports, a great weight, you know, when you go to build a temple. And so these truths are great foundations for the church to be built on, to be liberated on. The church is said to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I of all the gods and goddesses of the heathens and all of the false Christs and false prophets and false teachers that the apostles and the Lord talked about the church has, that's what separates them from all the rest of the world, is that they have the truth. And they are in comparison to holiness and love. They are separated from the world, a sanctified people, a separate people, a separated people, a called and chosen people. And so in this little compared to the rest of the world, it's the greatest, most valuable thing in the world. So we have an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, the Apostle Peter said, reserved in heaven for you. This same building that is here today, this same kingdom of God that's here then, and the church shall be delivered up in that final day, and as the Lord, when he comes for that purchased possession which we read about here, he's coming back for it, and it shall be caught up. And to be with him in the air, we shall forever be with the Lord. And he's going to present it to his Father. And he said, Father, here am I and the children that thou hast given me. And there'll not be one missing. There'll not be one lame, or one aged, or diseased. Just like when Israel went out from Egypt. Every one of them will be there, and they'll be in good health. They'll be holy and without blame before him and the Lord. He said, Father, here we are. I've not lost one of them. And he will be. All singing the praises of word in his land, for he has slain, he has redeemed us under our God. There be no names in them hymns that Athens. It's all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God and yea and amen. There's no names in it. There's nothing negative about it. And so he is working out all things according to his will and to his good pleasure. He has all power in heaven and in earth, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give it all to his Son. And he has the keys of death and hell around his neck, and he shall in no wise lose that which the Father has given him, but shall present back to him in that day. And until that day, we are to follow on to know him. We said that down to the Spirit here, so in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the perfect possession, and through the praise of his glory. And so the end of God's decree and predestination and his adoption and his choosing and calling is in us that we should be holy without blame. But the ultimate end is all to the praise of the glory of his grace. God paid all things for himself. Our main business should be rendering honor and praise and glory unto God for has made us. And he is our cousin. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is our mediator. He is our friend, our elder brother. He is lovelier than 10,000 that live in the valley of the rose and shadow. He's the only lawgiver in Zion. He's the one that our soul loves and desires, and that we seek after. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And he's all that the church is looking for. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on the arm of her beloved? Solomon said, that's the church. She's leaning on the arm of her beloved, and she don't have eyes for any other man. She's looking at him, and him only, for her justification, and her sanctification, for her atonement, for her peace, and for her prosperity here in the world. Jesus Christ is all that we need, is all that we desire. He was sent to us and given to us by the Father. Unto you, a child was born, and to you, a son was given. And beloved, he's the most precious gift that's ever been given, anywhere in time or eternity. And through his mercy and grace, we'll go through time. May be troubled for a little while, if need be, and have to bear some afflictions. That the gold might be tried, it's gold in the fire, but it's going to come out, purged and pure, and he'll deliver us safe and home in the end. And we can find it. Blessed be, it's a holy name. Blessed be the God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And may he add his blessing to his precious word. May you approach the doors of the church open. We praise the voice of the church. Page 100.
Brother, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Dan Hobbs, minister from Daniel, has promised to serve his church meeting February, second Sunday in February. I talked with him this morning, and he promised that the Lord willing, he'll be at the second Sunday in January, February, next week. And the women folks is all about our month, and everybody's invited to stay on over and have lunch with us. Is there any other announcement, Brother?
Nothing on which, just like to say, I would like to remember Brother Draper in his travels. He wouldn't have to travel at his own expense.
We'd love to say that we know Brother Dan Parker, and the Lord blesses him, that we'll hear some new preaching next Sunday. The Lord bless him in his ministry, and we'll hear some good preaching. And I've heard him do some mighty good preaching. I thought we're glad that he's holy to be able to fulfill the form.
We want you back in March. Well, they can do it. You want to come?
We publish the doors of the church open if there's one more here that has a hope in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ to fill out your sins. If they're forgiven for Jesus' sake, you've got to publicly make that confession of faith and join the church and obey the Lord in gospel baptism and be partakers of the communion service which he has told us to do to keep house from him in order until he comes again. If you love to do that, or you might make it known as we sing. Number, got a page 100 and the song number is. Elder Scott will be with us at time tonight. On Sunday night, we start service at 6:30, singing and preaching at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come and be with us in first and third Sunday in our regular Sunday morning services. Some of our deacons will mention the last Sunday, so don't be with some of you might come back again. We enjoy having visited whenever we can come and visit with us. Our hearts and minds satisfied, we ask the Lord to give us most power and merciful Father. We thank thee again for thy tender mercies and love and kindnesses that thou hast bestowed upon us. Thank you, dear Lord, for the church. Thank you for the witness of thy blessed Spirit, for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, dear Lord, for our daily living, day by day, and each way that thou hast prospered us. Most glorious, most holy Father, we pray that as we take the parting hand, we try to do with this, be our light in darkness and our strength in weakness. For we ask it in Jesus' name.